getting you home quicker. This is 105 Drive with Julian Clover. Cambridge 105.
So it's a Friday evening, and on this particular Friday evening, we're going to be speaking to Mark Anstead from the Cambridgeshire Wine School. He's here for our wine review. Good evening and happy Easter.
Thank you very much. I really look forward to Easter every year because I'm a bit of a chocolate freak. Are you?
Yeah, I am actually. My poor sister has given up chocolate for Lent, and I suspect what's going to happen. She's going to undo all of her good work on Sunday morning with a whole load of chocolate.
Yeah, well, and we've all got to watch our waistlines now that we're getting into, certainly about me, don't know about you exactly how old you are, Julian, but into towards the Middle Ages.
Something like that. I declare to anybody who wants to know, not that I particularly care about football, but I still haven't seen a World Cup victory by England in my lifetime, even though I was born in the same year. That's the only clue you're getting. But let's go to the chocolate, which is much better subject. And I guess sweet things generally, really, because you get trifles, you get cakes, you get all sorts of things served at Easter Sunday lunch.
You do. And obviously, when people are thinking about Easter, if they're thinking about chocolate, I don't think most people are thinking about wine at the same... You know, they tend to think, right, let's have wine with our lamb, and then let's have pudding. And instead of having pudding, let's open our Easter eggs or whatever. But some of us may be more of the mindset where, you know, later on in the day, we'd like to do a particularly nice treat, let's say... A more sort of grown-up Easter once the kids have gone to bed. So Easter eggs is one thing, but for a more grown-up, and serve a delectable chocolate dessert of some kind, and then have something that will go with it to drink that would actually enhance the experience. And then we're into the whole thing of matching sweet wines with puddings or desserts. And so you could have made a particularly nice one of those melting, what are they called when you make one of those desserts and it's all soft chocolatey in the middle still, but it's more cakey on the outside and it's melting in the middle.
Oh dear, now we're getting into gâteau territory in a way, aren't we? But I'm not entirely sure that's, you know, that, if that's still what you're warm, referring to there.
The ones that come out of the oven, they're still warm and they're really luscious and melty in the middle.
Oh, what is that called? I can't remember, but I just anyway. Your description of it is making me hungry. This is not fair.
So anyway, you might decide you want to cook yourself one of those, whatever they are.
And it's rather good, isn't it? Really to pace the meal anyway. You may have the main meal, your chance to digest all of that, a break, an hour, maybe two, and then, as you say, into the evening, once the kids have gone to bed, to tuck into a rather nice pudding, providing you can remember the name.
Now, I've come across an outfit called Bricks that have made chocolate to match with wine. So the opposite way around. They're not saying which wine will match with this chocolate. They're saying, we understand it is difficult to match chocolate with wine, so we're going to actually create a particular kind of chocolate that works better with wine. And I'm not sure about it. Have you ever heard of this?
Bricks. I haven't, no, but I kind of like the concept. So what are they doing? Are they being particular wines or perhaps groups of wines they're trying
groups
to narrow
of
it
wines,
down
yeah.
to?
Okay. So they've got a dark chocolate and they're saying this one will go very well with Shiraz, and they've got a milk chocolate and they say, you know, this one might go very well with Viognier and that sort of thing. And what they're actually doing is they're making less... the chocolate less sweet than normally it would be if you bought retail chocolate. But who wants to go and buy chocolate, especially for wine?
I guess even more complicated. It's hard enough choosing wine, even with your help. But I've got a chocolate expert in or something now as well.
And anyway, I like my chocolate sweet, and I want it to
be
ordinary
chocolate.
That's kind of
the point, isn't it?
Yeah, it's exactly. I mean, it's not too bad. It's not savoury chocolate, but I wasn't sure. I must admit, I've tried some, and I've tried it with the wines they suggest, and I'm still not sure. Because the big thing about whatever you eat with wine is if you eat something sweeter than the wine you're drinking it with, it's going to make that wine taste acidic and thin. And so you can take a nice mouthful of fruity, even very, very fruity New World wine. I think this is wonderful. And then go and eat something sweeter than that and drink another gulp of that New World wine. And suddenly all that lovely fruitiness would have disappeared, literally gone for the duration of that mouthful. And I think sometimes people just ignore that and press on because they're onto the pudding and they're finishing up the wine that they had for the main course.
You can spoil a good wine if you do that, can't you? In a way, well, the wine's perfectly good, just to the taste buds, it just goes horribly wrong.
Yeah. And let's say you're just trying to finish a bottle that you matched with your main course, then you probably just press on. You don't care about it. You just think, well, this was great with the beef, but now I've got it with the pudding. I just better neck it, really, because you don't want to waste the alcohol. But it's just not the best experience, because there is a good experience to be had with wine and desserts.
And is it better in any case to divide it up? If you go to a half-decent restaurant, they would sort of come around halfway through and say, well, here's the wine we recommend you to have from this point on. And so yes. Is it that sort of that same principle, really, you can take into the home as well?
Yeah. In a restaurant, a very good restaurant, that's going to cost you, isn't it? You're doing a tasting menu and they've matched the tasting menu by the glass. It's one of those lovely experiences of life. We all want to do it a few times if we can afford it.
Particularly if somebody else is paying, in my case.
Yes, okay. Well, does that happen often?
Occasionally,
for you?
Not too often, sadly.
Okay. So, but yes, at home it doesn't need to cost so much. Basically, they sell dessert wine in half bottles. So that's a good thing. So that means you're not going to have to open yet another bottle of wine and get bladdered. So you can just say, right, we're coming to the end of this wine we're matching with our savoury main, so let's not just open yet another one, let's actually let that finish, and now we're going to pudding and we're going to open this half bottle that I got out of the fridge. And in fact, why not keep your half bottles? They're useful for other purposes. When you've got a bottle that you haven't finished of any wine, pour it into a half bottle of a dessert wine that you've kept. When you finish the dessert wine, you keep the bottle and pour it, use it to store, and that will get rid of oxygen and help you to keep the remainder of your next wine of the wine you're trying to keep, because you don't want to finish it today, for a day or two.
I do rather like that as a bottle as well. That particular one, we'll obviously come on to talk about the contents a little later, but as a bottle, that looks rather nice.
Yeah, they look diddy, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's I think that's what does it. Not as small as those ones you get, you get on an airplane.
But if you're going to eat a pudding of any kind, you want to go for a sweeter wine than the pudding. So you might choose, say, for example, to go to a Sauternes to match a nice fruity pudding. You might go to a late harvest wine. If they call it late harvest, they just hang on those grapes on the vine and they pick them at the last minute, and it's got loads of sugar. And when they ferment that, there's still a lot of sugar left in the juice, even when the fermentation is finished. And so you might match that to, say, something like a panna cotta. But chocolate can be a wine killer, and there's really only a few that are going to work with it. And they tend to be red in colour, and you so red sweet wines. And so you can go to port, for example. Port and chocolate would work really well. That is a classic match. Of course, it's very high alcohol, and of course you don't have to finish the whole bottle. You can open it and keep it. So that's an adult thing to do for Easter, a real treat. The kids go up to bed and you open the port and you bring out some plain chocolate or milk chocolate, but it works particularly well with plain chocolate, and have a real evening of it. That's a real Easter wine geek thing to do, I think.
Oh, yeah, plain chocolate and port. That sounds grand, doesn't it? Well, let's take a break for some music whilst we sort of savour that thought. So we're with Mark Ansett from the Cambridgeshire Wine School. It's our monthly, four-weekly wine review. Easter just around the corner. We're kind of into it really now, aren't we, on Good Friday? We're looking at the kind of wines that you might drink alongside things sweet, particularly chocolate. And Mark, you were saying that plain chocolate in particular goes rather nicely with a good sweet wine.
It does. And port is a good example, because something like Sauternes or a late harvest white wine isn't going to be able to stand up to chocolate. But port has got that strong blackberry type flavours, and it can feel like you're mixing berries with chocolate. You're immediately into Black Forest Gâteau type feelings. And but what I've brought along today is one wine we're going to try. It's a Californian wine. It's sold in a half bottle from Majestic. It's called Elysium Black Muscat by Andrew Quaddy. So half bottle price, £12.49, but if you buy two bottles, £9.99. That's kind of thing that Majestic often do. They sell a good port as well, if that whetted your appetite. You could get their Taylor's Late Bottle Vintage port from them for only £13.99, which is a fairly good price for a late bottle vintage. And it's a way of going another step up in terms of quality from port. Instead of just your basic ruby port, you can go for a late bottle vintage. Comes from 1 year, but it wasn't what's called a declared year. So they haven't said this is a wonderful vintage year, and then we're going to charge a lot of money for
but
that.
But it's an okay year. So.
Yeah, it's an okay year. And they hold it back and mature it for you, and then you can buy it, and it's absolutely ready to drink. Whereas a proper declared vintage year will get better and better in bottle. So so you can get a port from them for $13.99, or you can try this Californian Elysian Black Muscat. Now, it's an unusual grape, Black Muscat. It's you don't get a lot of naturally sweet red wines, but this Black Muscat does the job. And let's actually just try it, shall we, before we crack open the Easter bunny that I've brought in with me. Let's actually
taste. I'm very excited. Thursdays I get donuts. Fridays it's going to be chocolate. This is good.
Okay. So if we just try the wine on its own terms first, forgetting about the chocolate. It's got a lovely, lovely smell of berries. That is so
cranberry.
Cranberry and raspberry. It's not so much black fruits.
So I'll take a gentle sip first, but I know you always tell me off for this, and I should take a sort of bit more of a gulp.
Big glob, a nice glob in the mouth, yeah. So I'll do the same.
Ooh, that's nice.
Very sweet.
It is very sweet indeed.
It's got a tang to it, though. The fruits have got a tang. Otherwise, it would end up syrupy and cloying, and you don't want to be drinking syrup. So you're looking for a nice fruity tang to go against the sweetness.
Well, it's a slight warming feel as it sort of goes gently down the throat as well, I find.
Oh, yeah, it's 15% alcohol, so it's a little high.
That's
probably
alcohol. Be the warming feeling.
Not as high, of course, as port. And you could
What's the percentage on port? Typically.
Well, much more like 20%.
Right.
And that's because they've added alcohol to stop the ferment, to keep the sugars in the grape. So the ferment starts and you get some alcohol going, and then they add grape spirit to it, basically, in very high concentration. But then they dilute that by, you know, adding more of the fermenting must to it until they get to 20% alcohol. Port is going to be a much more warming experience. But look, here we have some chocolate to try, different types of chocolate, because I'd be interested to see myself whether white chocolate works better with this, milk chocolate, or black dark chocolate, or a muffin. I've got a triple chocolate muffin. So I would have bought dark chocolate on its own, but I stopped off at a service station. All I could get was dark chocolate Kit Kat. So
that's no complaints, really.
But you're happy to crack open this Easter Bunny's head with me here?
I think so, yeah. So I declare this Easter Bunny open.
Give it a whack against the table. There it goes. Okay, so there you are, Julian. You want to chomp down on some of that milk chocolate, and I'll do the same. And then it'll be a question of what is best for adding this particular berry flavour to.
This is a very nice chocolate, actually, as well.
Thornton's milk chocolate bunny. Hmm. Sorry, reader, we're just chomping away.
Yeah, we're just enjoying ourselves
here.
Don't worry about it at all. Right, let's take a taste of the wine here as well.
So you're adding a berry flavour to that chocolate. How does that work with milk chocolate? Does that work well, or perhaps not so much?
It works okay, you know. It's nice. I had a little bit of chocolate stuck at the back of my mouth, and as the wine passed it, that created quite a nice taste sensation as well. It works. That's the short thing.
It doesn't. It's not at all overwhelmed, is it? That's
absolutely not.
So here's a bit of triple chocolate muffin, more into your cakey type area here. In case you've made a nice Easter cake, what to have with it? So now we're chomping down on something that's a lot less sweet.
Mm.
And that's going to affect the way the two go together in the mouth.
Let's see what happens here. Oh, now that's interesting.
Is that a nicer experience?
It's a different experience. Mm. So, again, it's pleasant. Personally, and I think this is a personal taste thing, I kind of liked the chocolate. In the pure form, I don't always dry taste without something sort of added to it, the dryness of the cake. Not that there's anything wrong with the cake for that matter, but
Now this, being black chocolate, this black chocolate Kit Kat is going to be another experience again. This is probably the one that's going to be more like your Black Forest Gâteau. You're combining flavours that typically are going to remind you of that, because of the bitterness of the black chocolate.
Ooh, now that really works. Now, you're right. That Black Forest thing is happening there. You really need just a dollop of cream to just go with it. But that's interesting. And each time, although obviously it's the same wine, it's been a ever so slightly different taste experience as we've moved from one type of chocolate to
another.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now that's called palate adaption, because your palate
like
is
that.
Adapting to the level of sugar you're getting in each different product. And, of course, there's sugar in the wine. But there's a bitterness in the black chocolate that brings out the depth of the fruit in the wine, and that's why it becomes this gorgeous Black Foresty Gâteau thing. I think my decision is, having tried all three here, that it is black chocolate that works best a lot of the time with sweet red wines, and better by far with sweet red wines than sweet white wines. That's a really great match. And particularly it is, again, true of port, or you could go to the south of France to a place like Banyuls. You could buy a Banyuls wine, which is made in France in a way similar to port. That would work nicely as well. And that's the adult way to enjoy Christmas, really. I mean, not
Easter
Christmas.
Easter as well, for that matter.
Easter.
No, very pleasurable. That's really good. I think you're right about the dark chocolate, but also I think actually pure chocolate on its own. You know, if you're, as sometimes happens, if it's simply just handing round chocolates, or maybe not necessarily after dinner mints, but certainly something where there's a lot of chocolate content in there, and just a wine or a port, sends it off very nicely.
It does. So I would like to let everyone know, important, this weekend Tesco are doing 25% off of everything if you buy 6 bottles of anything. So you have to buy 6 bottles and you get 25% on top of any existing discount which happens to already be in place. So the compound discount of that is a terrific bargain.
Oh, that'll make up for the new tax, won't it?
The disadvantage is that you do get, and generally I want people to know that this is my outlook on life, you do get more interesting wines in the independent merchants of Cambridge. So the independent merchants will be feeling the draft this weekend because Tesco will be trying to pull you and lure you in.
At the time, of course, when people might be thinking, oh, it's Easter, I'll go round to my local independent supplier.
Yes, and so there may be some strategy to this from Tesco's point of view, because they can afford to loss lead purely to get your groceries business. And of course, an independent merchant can't do that. But if you pop into the independent merchants, they are also doing some pretty good bargains. Cambridge wine merchants do some pretty good discounts on cases. And I popped into Noel Young in Trumpingdon the other day, and he had some bin ends underneath his windows. If you go into his shop and look right and down, you'll see some really good bargain wines. And this is, again, the discounts he's got on bin ends in order to clear stock is in the 20% range, so that's competitive with supermarkets. And he sells wines in there, and as do Cambridge wine merchants, that are not as expensive as you might imagine, that are as cheap as you can get in supermarkets. So, you know, support your local independent retailer as well. Don't forget them.
I refer the dear listener to Tuesday's guests from the Cam Shop Local campaign.
Uh-huh.
What better way to start practicing for a week of local shopping than by going to a local wine merchant?
Yes, very good. So, CambridgeshireWineSchool.com, if you're at all interested in some of the tastings we've got coming up, gift vouchers you want to give somebody for birthday or an anniversary or anything
Easter.
Special. Easter even. Just give them that, yes. We can email them to you, and I'd love to see some of you at some of our tastings in the Cambridge Brewhouse or other venues that we hold them around Cambridge.
That's great, Mark. Thank you very much, as always. I think I'll finish up the chocolate now.
Okay.